in about what happened. The young woman's a doomy, ain't she?
Claims to be.
Caused a riot. Blood knee-deep on the floor.
Ankle-deep.
Baron doesn't know it yet. I'm the only one who knows. Word doesn't get around the hole too much. Better Sharpie don't know.
Why? The sick man stared directly at Ryan.
I owe you my life. But the Baron could take an interest in Emma if he knew she had true muti powers.
But why should...
No. I'll go so far along the road for you. No farther. But this is only part of what I've come for. Just take it as a warning. Clinker Scales also told me about you and John Dix riding with the traitor. How he met up with you years back and all. I never actually saw the traitor, but I heard plenty of tales of him.
Most men have.
The old woman in the infirmary said she used to ride with him. Wanted a word with you, Carter.
And JB?
Just you. Says you'll know why.
What's her name?
Won't give it. She's real triple sick, Carter. Best take a couple coins to lay on her eyes. Hours at most. Maybe minutes. No time to waste on talk.
Ryan rubbed a finger down the side of his nose, considering the request, automatically looking for the possibility of a trap and rejecting it.
Right. Christy, keep the door safe. Go to bed if I'm more than an hour.
Christy kissed him on the cheek.
Take care.
I plan to.
Morgan led the one-eyed warrior silently through the rambling ville, past pairs of patrolling guards, all of them well-trained and alert, making Ryan reconsider his original thought that it would probably be easy to take the ville.
Nearly there, Carter.
They were the only words that Josh Morgan said to him until they reached a half-glass door with a painted sign over it, proclaiming that it was the infirmary.
You coming in, Morgan?
No. This is one ball you have to carry on your own, Outlander. Woman's in a private room beyond the main ward. Nobody else in there. Bell by the bed if you need to call for help.
It looked for a moment as though he were going to say something else, but the sick man turned on his heel and walked back along the shadowed passage. Ryan opened the door and entered the infirmary, finding himself in a silent dormitory with five beds to a side. An occasional light glowed dimly on the walls, showing the stark folded sheets and the fluffed pillows. The air tasted of antiseptic and sickness. Ryan moved slowly, his hand resting on the butt of the P-226 Sig Sauer. Blinds were drawn over the windows, deepening the effect of an undersea cavern. At the end of the ward, Ryan saw the corridor stretched ahead of him for another 50 feet, with several doors opening off on both sides. The first of them stood ajar, showing an empty office. The door opposite was locked. A narrow strip of pale fire glittered coldly from under the next door along on the right-hand side, and Ryan paused outside it, his fingers reaching for the cold brass handle and turning it. The light was on above the single bed. The solitary window was closed, the shutter thrown back, showing only a polished blackness. The room smelled of death. Ryan's first thought was that the mysterious woman who claimed to have known him had already slipped peacefully into the big sleep. Her eyes were closed, the toothless mouth sagging open. He had no doubt that Morgan had been misinformed. Ryan had an excellent memory for faces, and he knew immediately that this skeletal old woman, looking to be closer to 90 than 80, had never ridden the war wags with him. He was about to turn and walk away when the veiled eyes opened, and she looked at him.
Never used to walk away easy from me, Ryan.
Oh, Fireblast. Jenny? Jenny Bolam, is it you?
Jenny Bolam had been nav officer on Warwag 2 when Ryan had joined Trader. She'd been no more than 4 or 5 years older than him, which would make her half the age of the animated skull lying in the bed.
Changed a bit, have I?
Ryan found his mouth had gone as dry as desert sand.
Some, Jenny. Some.
Silver-tongued bastard. Like always.
Where did you hear I was around?
Lincoln Inn. Clinker Scales has been a good friend. Didn't know of my connection with Traitor. And you. Gave me a bed to die in. Then there was the shooting, and he told me about a one-eyed son of a bitch with black curly hair and a chilling way to him. Knew it could only be one man in all Deathlands.
It was terminal rad cancer. The signs visible under the pitiless overhead light were unmistakable. Jenny Bolum had been plump and blonde, with eyes as bright and blue as a summer sky in Montana, full-breasted, with muscular thighs and firm buttocks. Ryan had known and loved every inch of that fabulous body, and Jenny had encouraged him, showing him things and teaching him ways that he'd never known before, never even dreamed of. Offered herself as an instructor, making him aware that wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, wasn't good enough, and that sex was a two-way street.
Thinking back, are you, Ryan? Time's passed, not worth forgetting.
You were marrying Jenny, though we traded for some mortar shells.
The head nodded slowly. The woman was almost completely bald, with just a few strands of fine silvery hair hanging limp over her ears.
Hanging tree in old Tennessee. You always had a good memory, Ryan.
What happened?
The eyes closed and opened again.
Pour us a drink of water, will you, hon?
Ryan went to the side of the bed, struggling to hide his revulsion at the overwhelming stench of decay that seeped from Jenny. There was a thick glass tumbler and a jug of water with a circle of beaded muslin draped over it to keep away the insects. Ryan half-filled the glass and offered it to Jenny, who smiled, showing the stumps of yellow teeth between ulcerated gums.
Can't hold things steady anymore. If you could...
Oh, sure.
He leaned over the woman and put one arm behind her shoulders, feeling the frail sharpness of bone beneath the taut skin, easing her upright and holding the drink for her. His face must have shown the shock at how unbelievably frail she had become. She gestured for him to take the water away.
Lost some weight, haven't I, Ryan? Well, you always said I had a few ounces too much meat on my bones. Now that's all I am. Just bones.
What happened?
Oh, big question. I married. Good man. Made shoes and boots. We had four children. One died at birth. Another went to cholera. My husband was helping in a harvest and a tractor went over him. Crushed his ribs and lungs. And he drowned on his own blood. Third child. Sweet little Billy. Was sickly. Left him a fire to keep him warm while I went out to bring in some Jack. House went like a torch. Just me and my firstborn. His name was Ryan, too. Can't think why.
Don't talk, Jenny. Save your strength. We can...
No shit between us, hon. Never was. Too late for it now. Ryan was stabbed to death in a gaudy brawl. Went there as a bully minder. 15 he was, but a big, strong boy. Been a downhill blacktop since then, hon.
I'm sorry, Jenny. Empty words, but I mean them. I'm truly sorry for it.
Worked in a frontier pestle near an old hot spot. Hotter than I thought. Got the cancer that's eaten its way through my guts to my heart, Ryan. But what are you? And what of Trader?
Been around. Traveled a lot with John Dix, the armorer. You recall him?
Some. Married, hun? Always thought that you'd make the worst husband between Portland, Maine and Portland, Oregon.
No, not spliced up. Got a woman, a good woman. Things about her remind me of you, Jenny. Got a boy, Dean, 12 years old. No, 11.
She nodded, her roomy eyes narrowing.
Settle down, before it's too late, Ryan. You'll be a guest of the old man with the midnight cloak for a long time. Do it.
I've been thinking on it, Jenny. One day.
Traitor? Everywhere I went, his name'd come up. Last was he'd been wiped out in a standoff in the Lakota lands.
Ran into him not long ago. He hadn't changed much. Him and Abel were right